Hello and welcome to The Rebuild. My name is Peter Moses in Los Angeles, joining me all the way from Chicago, Illinois, Dr. Gates Merriman. Hey, Gates.
Hey, Pete. We're good to be back on the feed here.
Much to the
chagrin of all of the listeners.
Listen, we are not Jordan Zerm still, and that's just A-okay, baby, because the Browns are 4-1, and there's really nothing to be upset about in the world.
No. If you're wondering why we haven't recorded since after the Baltimore game, we don't know what to do with these wins.
Pronounce
don't know
win.
What to do with it. Win. What? Win.
Win. I think
wind.
It's a win.
Win?
Like a Schwinn, but a win.
Okay.
A win.
Yeah, it's not in our wheelhouse. We're much better at abject misery, which normally what we get a large heaping spoonful of, but not these last four
months
here, Pete.
Whole
what
month.
Have you what have you thought? A month. A glorious month.
Well,
a light of sunshine in these otherwise disgusting times.
I mean, it was pretty every game has been a build on the last game. So the Bengals, terrible. We beat them. It was a little close, a little dicey. Played well, beat them.
Yeah.
Washington football team, we beat them. They're pretty bad. Bad team. Chase Young went
pretty
out.
Pretty bad, but, you know, a Ron Rivera coach team. It's not nothing.
Yeah.
But they're pretty bad, but.
Would have been a little nervous if they didn't lose half their defensive line in the middle of the game, but that's the game of football, as you can tell.
And if Dwayne Haskins wasn't just awful.
Really bad.
Tell you what, he would have looked good in brown and orange for most of this decade. He would have fit the bill quite well, the passes he was throwing.
For very Deshaun Kizer of him.
Yeah, a real Kizer vibes. But, yeah, exactly. I mean, we've just kind of been climbing this little ladder. It's like our schedule was designed by our coaches to add a little extra challenge each week to have to deal with. Because then we moved from Washington to Dallas pre-Dak foot amputation. And that was, I mean, in each of these games, the nit to pick is that, like, we haven't just slammed the door. But folks, like, what do you want? We've never slammed the door. What we normally do is leave it ajar just enough for the opportunity to completely blow it to come up. And every time we do blow it, but it hasn't happened this year.
It is amazing. There's a moment in every single game, and I guess this is just what winning football teams do, and we've never gotten to experience it consistently, is there's like this moment of adversity where you're kind of so used to just the wheels falling off. Like,
yeah.
Ronnie Harrison gets the pick six, and then for the first time in 36 years, anyone in an NFL game returns a kick for a touchdown, and you're like, okay, yep, this is where it happens. Phillip Rivers, we're going to go 3-and-out. Phillip Rivers will like go on a beautiful drive, and we're just going to be done. And it just doesn't happen because we're one of the best coach teams in football.
Exactly. And that's, I think, the big difference. That's why, like, because all, like you're saying, all the setup is there for us to collapse in the way that we always do. And like anyone listening to this could think of 1,000 games in their lifetime where it's been going pretty well, but you just kind of know that the doom is coming and you can sense that moment. We've had plenty of those moments, and then it just doesn't fall apart. We're doing enough to win.
I think there's two things that I take away from these first couple months of football. One is we have a coach who is proving out our hot coach theory.
That is honestly the biggest point that I wanted to make in this podcast. That too hot to fail is one of the better takes of the year so far. And it's proving to be completely true.
Just like
fancy. Look at him. Look at Freddie. Look at him. It makes perfect sense.
Just like TTYH Vine left the review, Return of Zerm, 5 stars. Thank God, finally talking football again. Thank you so much for the review. You can't fail.
Thank God. Okay.
Yeah. First of all, buddy, we all know God is dead. Okay. Second of all, we talk football. It's just dumb football.
It's the stupid side of football.
Can you imagine someone like Freddie Kitchens calling a draw play on 3rd and 9 to Dearness Johnson and getting 28 yards and having penalties in an entire football game? Two penalties? That's
like the penalties, the getting to the line with like 40 seconds left on the play clock, which is as much time as there can be in a play clock. It's just the general organization when they, even when they cut to him over on the sideline and he's just kind of always looks the same and is always like talking into his headset, obviously preparing to either like make his next move or counter whatever just happened rather than just like standing there with his jaw on the floor. It's when so nice.
When you hear him say something like, we're thinking about the plays we're going to call in the third quarter when we're calling plays in the first quarter, that is advanced algebra and Freddie Kitchens still in remedial math for sure. It's not even close.
It's something we've never really experienced it before. And I highly recommend, if I think it was like last week, an episode of Building the Browns, which you can watch on YouTube, came out, and it's like a little schlocky, but it has a lot of mic'd up stuff, including from Stefanski. And he just like sounds so cool and polished. I wish I sounded that composed in any aspect of my life. But I mean, he's made such a tremendous difference. It's just like a joy to behold.
He is so confident, and also it finally is nice to have a coach who's like, hey, maybe Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb should be featured consistently.
Yeah, heavily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is a crazy thought, too. And just weird to also be like, okay, there was also one moment that I want to shout out because Jarvis Landry actually shouted it out as a moment that defined what was different between this year and last year for him as well. So I didn't feel crazy. In the Cowboys game, when we had the ball on the 10-yard line with 4 minutes to go at the end of the second quarter.
End of the first half.
And we just marched the ball down and ended up kicking a field goal. And Moose Johnson, who was, you know, former Cowboy, was like, I don't know if the Browns really screwed up here. They could have gotten to the end zone. It was like, dude, you're missing the entire point. We have never casually, concisely, and efficiently driven down anywhere at the end of a half and gotten any points and then gotten the ball back and scored a touchdown to start the second half. That's never happened. That doesn't happen for us.
Yeah. I think I actually texted that maybe to you, maybe to someone else. I have the receipts to be like, before that drive happened, this drive will show like how far we've come. Because if you remember last year, not the first Ravens game where we like lacked them, but the second one at home, where at that point it was clear the Ravens were way better than we were. We had an end of the first half situation where we were kind of hanging in the game. At that point, the Ravens were like off and running. They were like had 11 wins and 2 losses or whatever. And were well on their way to the first seed. But what ended up happening was we got the ball with about like 3 or 4 minutes left. We very quickly went 3 and out by throwing like 3 passes to nobody. And then punted, the Ravens scored, and we got it back again with less than a minute and tried to do the exact same thing, and the Ravens got the ball back and scored again. So we went from, I think we were like tied 7-7 to suddenly down 21-7 within just a couple minutes. And that, I mean, and that's, you know, not really a difference in mindset as much, because like I guess you could say both guys wanted to push the ball and try to score, but it's a difference just in like organization and thinking and actual, obviously, execution. Like being like, okay, we're gonna, whatever we do, we're gonna drain clock, and then on top of that, hey, guess what, I have like the bag of tricks to actually effectively run an offense.
How are you feeling about Baker Mayfield? Because I feel like the one thing that's kind of popular to talk about right now in the Browns ecosystem is like everything's humming, but we don't know if Baker Mayfield's the quarterback of the future. And at least for me, it doesn't really feel fair at all to judge him until like this Steelers game right now. Because even though he said he played the worst game of his season so far, that first half against the Colts is everything you ever want from Baker Mayfield, where the defense is running up against it, or the run game is running up against it. And he was phenomenal.
Yep.
He was like exactly what you want. He was like 16 for 20 something with 2 touchdowns, 250 yards. Like, I don't like it seems like grasping for straws if we have to be complaining about something or we have to be like, I don't like, it just doesn't, I don't know. But what do you feel, how do you feel about Baker so far in this four game winning streak?
Well, that's the biggest thing is like we won four games in a row. So whatever overall is how I feel. But I completely agree that I thought the first half of this game was like the best he's looked in ages. Obviously he had a rough second half, but like sometimes you just have a second half and it's not necessarily a referendum on your entire career. So the other thing is, dude, this is game. So he's had five games in this system where it's his, as we know, his fourth head coach in 3 years. He's learning a new system without an off season. I think it's fair to say he's making progress in it. And it does just seem, this is like X's and O's that we don't know anything about, which is well documented, but it seems like this is a complex system where you need to really learn your role as a quarterback. You're not going to be the guy putting it all on your back, which is probably good. But I think he's kind of coming along in that progression, and there's just going to be hiccups along with all the bad habits that he has to unlearn from a really bad year last year. So I think I am kind of making peace with the idea that he's not going to be a transcendent player. And that is like completely fine with me, because I think he'll be like a very good player for a long time. He seems to have all the tools, maybe does some stupid shit every now and then, but I feel like fine about him. I'm certainly not. If anyone out there is like, we gotta get a different quarterback. What are you talking about?
I feel like we are so battered and beaten down as a fan base that we're so used to anything that's happening poorly being, well, that's why we lost, or this is why we lose, or everything's about losing. Yeah. And now we're seeing good teams. You don't play perfectly. You can't play fucking perfectly. That's not what it is. That's not how this stuff goes. Like,
right.
You have to overcome adversity, and like our fucking defense and like Myles Garrett won the game the second half. Like, they're basically responsible for 9 points, and they won the fucking game. And they're just like, so we didn't have a good second half because we were up 35 points in Dallas. Yeah, you get a little complacent and shit happens. But like, I don't, like, this is just what happens when teams win. Like, they find ways to win, and like fucking Sheldrick Redwine gets on the field for the first time and gets a pick. Like, Harrison pick six. Like, it's just like, there has to be, like, if we're not going to be just like happy with winning and not thinking about like our draft picks and our future, like, we were forced to do that because we never had this feeling. Like, now we have this feeling where like, I'm brushing my teeth this morning and I'm thinking, okay, well, actually there's 16 teams in the AFC. You can write off six of them right now. You can write off the Jets. You can write off the Dolphins. You can write off the Bengals. You can write off the Chargers. You can write off the Broncos, and you can write off, well, maybe even like the Jags and the Texans. So seven, maybe Miami, you could kind of, maybe not. But then that basically means you have three or four teams fighting for, or four or five teams fighting for the wild card spots. That's it, for three wild card spots. And we've already just beat the Colts, which was basically like a division game. So like, we're better than 50% going to make the fucking playoffs.
Yeah, it's all out there in front of us. And to your point, just that, like, we just have such a demented way of looking at wins and losses these days, just because of all of our emotional trauma over the last couple decades. Here's a game, I think, if you just watch other NFL games, watch like a great team like Patriots in years past, they don't always win their games completely convincing. It's rarely in every single game that they just like are stomping the life out of the other team. I think about, there was a 2013 game. This is when Josh Gordon was at his peak. And I think this is the second week in a row where he had 200 yards.
I remember this game.
The second one. Yep. So
Josh Gordon up like 10 with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, right? Something like crazy.
Yep,
like that.
Exactly. Exactly. The game was in the bag for any other franchise, and this is one of those games where like one thing happens and then we fall apart. And that's exactly what happened. I think we ended up losing with like a last second touchdown and 2-point conversion, lost by like 1 point. So if you look at that from a Patriots fan perspective, like that's a terrible game. But those guys, because they almost lost the Cleveland Browns, who, you know, that was, I think Jason Campbell was our quarterback or something at that point. But you don't just write off the entire team because you're not, you know, the people who are angry right now because we didn't just like choke the life out of our last three opponents when we were up. It's like, that's just not how the NFL works. All right. And the Patriots went to the AFC Championship game that year. So like, it's okay. It's good to just win, folks. Maybe we're talking to no one. Maybe no one's really thinking this way. But I think people are like, I don't know. Like, why aren't we really putting our foot on the gas?
If you're going to be
doing everything we can.
If you're going to be concerned about anything with the team, you also have to acknowledge the team, the players, and the moments that help the team win. Because right now, this team is making fucking winning goddamn plays. Our defense is getting better slowly every week. The linebackers actually didn't play terrible. Ogunjobi was fucking out. Our D-line is hurt. And Myles Garrett...
He practiced today, by the way, so that's good.
Yes, that is... We actually really need him. But, again, we'll get to this too. The Steelers' line is a little depleted right now. But, like, Myles Garrett is finally as advertised. Like, he is potentially the MVP of the fucking league right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's incredible.
They were trying to guard him with 60% of their line.
To the point that, and this, I'm like stealing this from one of the, I think like Bull and Fox or something, to the point where no one's talking about his near murder on the field last year. Like, he has turned that narrative around so quickly. It's bizarre that everyone's just like, wow, Myles Garrett, incredible player. No one's like, usually those things hang on for a couple of years and you need to work really hard to just get rid of them. But he's playing so well that everyone's like, you know what?
Ray Lewis says, not so fast, my friend.
Mason Rudolph anyway.
Ray Lewis wiped off that actual murder charge pretty quickly.
That's true. That's true. And now that I think they have a statue of him. So yeah, you can make some mistakes in this league and be okay. But yeah, everything. So, and Baker in this last game is a perfect example of what you're talking about, where it's like you won the game and there's reasons that so Baker's first half is a big reason that him having a shitty second half was like okay, and that's how you play winning football. Like you make more good plays than bad, and at the end you hope you come out on top. It's like, not, I mean,
scoring 20 points against the number one defense in the league in the first half when they're expecting you to run and you throw 250 yards on them seems good. That seems good.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm very excited. I'm nervous about how you're feeling about the Steelers, because to me it's just inconceivable that we can go into Pittsburgh even with no fans and win like a big game at this pivotal moment. It just, where I'm too I've seen too much stuff. What are you thinking?
Okay, I think that you're thinking is totally right. I think I think your thinking is totally right. It's fine. I think that, like, why would you think we can win? We never win there. Like, it doesn't, like, what about your life if I was like, Gates, you're going to be able to fly tomorrow. Meet me on top of the roof. And you were like, Peter, no. I'm not going
to
do that because
that'd be
a reasonable
thing to say.
Yeah, like.
But this example, not only have I never flown, but I've actually fallen off multiple buildings directly onto my face.
Yeah, because so like you keep telling me I can fly, and I'm like, no, this is it. This is the time you can fly. And you're like, no, please, man, come on. I'm just like one person.
There's only so many bones you can break.
I'm like, let's go up one story.
At this point, we don't have many left. But I mean, at the same time, there's more. It's probably the best functioning team we've ever had in our lifetimes. Like, I don't remember 1994. I was six. So maybe that one was better under Belichick. But, like, I don't know. The talent's insane on our team right now.
If you take away the Browns and the Steelers in the history and you say to yourself, the Steelers have not really played an amazing schedule so far this year.
No, let's take a look here.
I know they...
schedule.
They beat the Eagles, and they were beating them pretty handily, and then Ebron fumbled twice, two times in a row, and they got back into it. But they gave up like 30 points to the Eagles. They lost, or they beat the Broncos at home. Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, wow, they really have. Okay, so they opening week, they won by 10 over the Giants, which, like, I don't know.
Saquon Barkley ripped his ACL in that game.
Yes, correct. And they beat Denver by 5. Also not great. And then Houston, pre-Bill O'Brien firing, they beat them by 7. Beat them 28-21 in week 3. Then they had their forced bye that they're all whining about. Jesus Christ, give it a rest. And then they kind of eked one out against the Eagles there. So you're right that on paper, if you just blindness and you ask like a neutral third party, here's one team, here's the other, who do you got? Like, we stand a very good chance in that game. It's just, yeah, the emotional baggage is what's got me unable to get too hyped about it. I'm hyped. That's the wrong thing to say, but confident.
Two of their 5 starting linemen are out. You can run.
Yeah, hopefully they're like fully. I think one of them is definitely going to be out. I think DeCastro is definitely going to be out. DeCastro's like a maybe, but neither practice today, which is great.
DeCastro is a bigger problem for them if he's out than Pouncey, I think. And also, you can run on them. Like, they are, yes, they'll get after the quarterback, but they're not a team like the Colts have, like a top 5 D line in the league. Like, DeForest Buckner is like right there with Myles Garrett as like huge fucking problem.
Incredible.
And the biggest difference, I think, in that game is like, frankly, Phillip Rivers' arm strength versus Baker's arm strength and the decision making and how they rolled him out. You can run at like Dupree and Watt. And if we can do that, then we can play our fucking game. It's just going to be a matter of, are we going to get behind? And can we play from behind in a way that we haven't had to since the Ravens? And even in the Ravens game, as we talked about the last time we podcast, like, there was still a couple inflection points in that first half that really blew it wide open, where Odell doesn't make that drop and a couple things don't happen. And it's a 4 to 7 point game going into halftime. So now, even with like some hindsight, it doesn't feel like that game was as bad as it felt then.
I think I agree with that. And I think like, it's also just important to always keep in mind when thinking about this team is like, we're so far from a finished product. And especially compared to a team like Pittsburgh, like, they kind of are what they are at this point. Like, they, you know, there's always room for improvement for any team, but we are so early in our kind of team building journey under Stefanski and our like identity building journey that I don't think at any point you can kind of really say like, okay, this is what the Browns are, because my assumption is we're just going to kind of keep adding wrinkles to the offense, keep figuring out what works. And you've seen that in the last couple of weeks that, you know, Hooper's had more and more receptions. Obviously, Odell's been getting going. Chubb getting hurt throws a little bit of a wrench into it. But, like, I think this whole thing is just going to keep evolving. And I think that really bodes well for Baker, because I think he'll you know, kind of figure out when he can take his shots and when he can't. And I don't know, man. I hopefully we can just slow them down a little bit. I wish Harrison was going to be good to go. He's in the Rodney Harrison, he's in the concussion protocol. I don't know, maybe he'll be okay. That's always a sort of tough one to predict, but we have a shot. We've got the best shot we've had in quite a while against Roethlisberger.
And the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action with BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start off wagering on wins, division championships, futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, promo code for betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. I am still, there's a couple things that I feel good about too. All he's got to do is hit Roethlisberger one time to fuck him up. I know that dude's been playing really well and he's strong and yada, 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 but like, he's a big ass target. And if Myles Garrett brings him down, how nice would it be if he had to force Mason Rudolph to come into the game?
That would be just poetic. Except the really poetic part would be then Mason Rudolph would like carve us up for 450 yards and put an end to all the silliness of us being excited about the Browns.
Looking like Tommy Maddox out there? I mean, yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. But it wouldn't, nothing surprises me. Yeah.
I feel really good. All right, you're going to say they're going to lose. I'm going to say they're going to win. Yeah, I think we're going to win.
Okay. I think we're going to lose, and I don't think that's a catastrophe if we do, because like going forward, 10 games should be very winnable for us, like at a minimum.
When we played the schedule game earlier, before the season started, which like I will definitely not go back and check, but I am pretty sure we did not have us beating the Cowboys and the Colts. I think we said
probably
we have to
not,
beat.
Probably not, though I do think we ended up going like 12-4 or 13-3. So I don't know where we picked those losses up.
Well, let's play a little schedule game right now, because I think this is kind of a good way to talk about Nick Chubb too and the rest of our schedule, because like the rest of our schedule is fucking light, baby.
It really is. There's a couple hitters on there though that I didn't expect, but yes, overall
4-1 right now. I've got them winning. Fuck it. I've got them winning against the Steelers. I don't care.
Okay. So 5-1.
And you've got them. Yeah. You've got them taking an L.
Yeah. But you have more conviction than I do. So we'll go with the win there.
Okay. 5-1. This is like better than drugs high. Just feeling fucking great. Like better than the time I had a kidney stone and they gave me morphine, even though I said, I think I was fine in the emergency room. And I was like, this is the good stuff, baby.
Cleveland Brown, better than Kidney Stone.
My wife got to watch me just like them like put the morphine like into the IV and just watch my whole body like slide into goop. It was
sounds incredible.
I think it's fun for half as I'll tell you what. I wouldn't mind another hit. That's all I'm gonna say.
Check out morphine, everybody, if you're interested. It's today's sponsor is morphine.
You can get it pretty much anywhere, actually, if you just say the right thing.
It's out there.
At the Bengals next week, I'm going to just say that's a fat win, baby.
Gotta be. Though they're not terrible, but if we beat the Steelers, we're beating the Bengals. So, yes, 6-1, Pete. Heading into
Coming back home.
Oh, yeah. Coming home to the Raiders.
The Raiders, drop your ballots off at the correct place and then head down to the stadium for the Las Vegas Raiders, November 1st. They just beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. They're really fast. They're flying around. I think they're going to be fun. I think they're like, and I know they can really hit the long ball hard. Do you think I feel like you want to say they're going to lose this game just to bring us back down to earth?
Well, now that you brought up the long ball, I mean, we do have Andrew Sendejo back there, so good luck throwing on him, folks. You better hope he doesn't get within 15 yards of you, which he rarely does.
I was going to say, if he gets within 15 yards of you, I feel like that's a successful play for him.
Yeah, that would be one of our defensive coverages so far.
All right,
I thought we were losing. I actually did this a couple weeks ago and like just wrote out what I thought was gonna happen. I thought we were gonna lose to Dallas and Indy, so I don't have a good feel. I just feel like we have to. It's inconceivable that we would be talking about being 7-1 at our bye week. So I want to pump the brakes and give us a loss here.
Let's just call it 6-2. Henry Ruggs versus Sendejo seems like we'll just call that a loss right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's when you put it that way. Yes, that's a loss.
We get a bye week. Everyone gets to celebrate our dear leader's reelection. And then we'll head back to November 15th, hosting off the bye week, the Houston Texans. I feel pretty good about this, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a W for sure. I mean, they're Romeo Crennel's coaching, and we know how that goes.
So 7-2 right now.
7-2.
7-2.
With the Eagles coming to town. Well, we played like, I feel like we played 1,000 home games this year. Okay. Eagles coming into town. That's 8-2. The Eagles kind of suck. Carson Wentz is not it. Everyone who like spent all their time complaining that we didn't take Carson Wentz a couple years ago, like,
yeah, where are you now, bro?
Yeah, not so
he's great. Bad.
He's pretty bad.
You know your quarterback's not good when like part of like the play calling is like if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. You know, that's kind of like the Wentz fight.
Yeah, right.
That's like, you know what? Right. Let's just run him on a draw. Who cares?
So we're 8-2 in late November.
8-2 heading down to Jacksonville.
Jesus. Okay, so we're 9-2.
9-2 heading into Tennessee. That is a solid loss for us for
big,
sure. We just got to chalk that up right away.
After watching them destroy those last night. Yeah. Okay. 9-3. Am I doing this right?
9-3.
Eesh.
Coming back. Baltimore.
I don't know, man.
On Monday Night Football.
Ooh, in Cleveland.
In Cleveland.
Baltimore is, I don't think what they did to us week one has any bearing here whatsoever. For a million different reasons. And then I don't pay a ton of attention to them, but peeps are saying they don't quite look like they did last year. It's not the just the onslaught on offense that they had last year.
I don't think. I think they took advantage of being totally cohesive from the year prior. And we felt like we were playing our first practice against them.
100%.
I'm going to just call it a W.
Yeah. Okay. I am too. I actually feel. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's got us at 10-3.
Team. Okay.
Heading to back to back games in the Big Apple.
Okay. So we're 12-3.
12-3 with our last game. Against the Steelers at home.
Which, frankly, if this was to go the way that we just said that it is, this is probably for the AFC North crown, would be my guess. Oh, my God.
I think it would probably be potentially for the AFC crown. I think it's a good way to hedge where it can say...
Would it be for the number one seed?
It would be wild as fuck if we beat the Steelers twice.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think if I'm being overly confident about us winning this weekend, we got to count this as a loss.
Okay. That's reasonable to me. So that's 12-4. Same result that we ended up with the first time, I believe.
You know what? I hope we just keep doing this and keep getting to 12-4.
I hope so. I mean, it haven't avoided it so far. Okay. So that would be 12-4 with losses to the Ravens, the Raiders, the Titans. The Steelers. I mean, those are four like great. This is a nice schedule, which, you know what, we fucking deserve, because most years,
yeah, we do
go 0-16, and then somehow we have the hardest schedule of any team in the NFL the next year, and yeah. I never understand.
Like,
we
go 0-16 and play like the Patriots three times. We're like, yeah. What the fuck?
Exactly. So we have earned a little bit of a break, and they can say whatever they want to. I mean,
what is one thing that you think needs to happen this weekend for you to feel, if we did win, what is like the one thing you think absolutely has to happen in our game plan or in the game itself?
This is probably just like a cliche answer. I feel like Baker just needs to like have not just a good game, because he's had a couple good games so far, but not quite a great game. He doesn't need to put the team on his back. He just needs to have like a good plus game, like a B plus game. A little better than he had against Cincy, Washington, or Dallas, where he was like efficient but didn't do a whole lot.
250 yards and 3 touchdowns, I think, is the minimum there.
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're good for 2 rushing touchdowns, or one or two rushing touchdowns.
Wow.
So I feel like somewhere between like 20. Listen, if we get to 30 points, I think we're going to win this game.
But I think Kareem definitely going to be, can really fuck him up too. I think he's going to have a big one here.
Yeah, I think they're a much shittier run D, and I know they're still like fifth or something, but compared to just like you could just run at them directly.
Yeah.
And I think forcing Ben, getting pressure on Ben, and just continuing to like grab turnovers and make plays, like that's the fucking modern NFL defense. Like, sure, you can be the Ravens, but also like just get turnovers, you know? That's it. That's all it takes.
Yeah. And apparently we're good at that. I don't know why, but we're quite good at it. Partly because Miles Garrett is just like, just smacks the ball out of quarterback's hands, which is a great move. But I mean, I don't know, man. I feel pretty good. I hopefully, it always feels when you have injuries on your team, like you're the injury bitten team, but like everyone always in football just has like a ton of key injuries. So I'm not going to feel too bad about ourselves about like Chubb and Teller. So those are the two guys where it makes me worry for Miles, because like before last week, it was just like, or 2 weeks ago, Nick Chubb and Miles Teller, like the Miles Teller. Nope. He's an actor. Wyatt Teller.
Miles Teller's from the Jazz movie. Right?
Yeah. Good movie. Whiplash.
Whiplash.
That guy worked hard. If Wyatt Teller works as hard as Miles Teller worked as his character in Whiplash at rehabbing his calf, we're going to be just fine. And then by the bye week, you figure that he's probably healthy. Maybe Greedy's healthy. Nick Chubb, I think, will be healthy by then.
Greedy's injury seems fucked up. Greedy's injury kind of feels like a Markelle Fultz thing, where it's like something deeper here is happening that they weren't really aware of.
Clearly, because like it was, I remember going into week one, it was like, oh, Greedy's like might be able to make it, then not quite. Then the next week he was practicing, but no. And then that kept happening, and now he's on the IR. So I don't know what to make of any of that. But I also like don't think that Greedy was going to be the linchpin of this defense when he came back. So I don't think we miss him that much. It was just now our margin for error is so razor thin if we lose another corner, because like I think. Terrence Mitchell is fine on the other side. He's like a very serviceable second cornerback. And then you get to play Duke Johnson. You have like Johnson. Kevin Johnson in the nickel, which is kind of where he's better in the slot there. So that's entirely too much analysis of actual football for me. But I feel good. Even if we fucking lose this week, I still feel pretty good.
That's the thing. I could still feel fine even if we lose, and I don't remember the last time you could possibly say that. So that is encouraging, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, think about last year. This is the first time we would have to lose 4 games in a row to get below 500. It's insane. Like, usually we're just trying to scrape back to 500, then see what we can do. This is such a strange position we find ourselves in, but it's good. We should have been doing this the whole time.
This feels great. Yeah, I want more of this.
Yeah, me too.
All right, Gates. That's enough actual football analysis from us. So most people have probably turned this off.
Analysis in big old air quotes. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, sorry guys. Zerm will be on Friday, I think, is his new game plan here. So enjoy that. But this you get this in the meantime. And go ahead, leave us a 5-star really
suck it
mean
up.
Review or a nice one if you're feeling good.
Yeah. Let's see if any of Gates or mine's extended family can pop in and just maybe leave something nice.
I want to put in a quick plug, Peter, for your production of TE1, Tight End 1 with Greg Olson. So I recently listened to the the finale, correct? Is that of the whole program or just of the season? How's it going to go? Or is it?
That was a bonus episode. There's actually going to be maybe one or two more bonuses coming through. But it was
you, Peter, interviewing Greg Olson, who apparently is your friend, which is inconceivable to me. But he unprompted called you his friend. So that was great. But it was just a fantastic interview. You asked great questions, and he just seemed like just a cool, like normal guy. And I enjoy these interviews so much where you realize that these guys are like obviously superhuman athletes, but like they're doing their job. So you get to talk about all the kind of just like the normal job stuff that comes along with doing a job. And then some of the fan stuff that he has to deal with in relation to fantasy was really entertaining. But
thanks, man.
Yeah. So folks, if you're interested, I would start with that last episode. Even, and I think it'll make you want to hear more from Greg Olson, because he's a dude.
He's a cool dude, and I think
the three of
the
us.
One thing that I tried
out,
to, you and Greg, yeah, the three out. Of us will definitely hang. Yep. I'll make sure that happens. Okay. The one thing I try, I mean, he's a cool guy. I produced the show for him, so I've gotten to know him over these last several months and work with him, and he's just so fucking grounded and cool. But he also like is down to make fun of himself, and I think. Knowing that like I could have an interview and a conversation with him where I get to like tease him is pretty pretty cool. And I think it kind of makes it a little bit more enjoyable too.
One of the things he said, like at some point, I can't remember what you guys were talking about, but he's like, you know, I'm not one of those like macho dudes like some people are, but I'm just not. I'm like, oh, holy shit. It's like amazing to be what is he in year like 13 in the NFL for him.
14,
you're 14. He's like, yeah, all you like manly men, whatever. He's just a good.
We talked about it too, though, for a second. I do feel like he's like 3 years older than us or four years older, but I feel like Greg is 73 years old. It's like you've been playing professional football since I was in almost high school.
Yeah, just about. I mean, I feel that way about anyone who's on TV. That I'm just like, oh, you're older than me. Like Jarvis Landry, I like look up to, and he's like 5 years younger than me at least. So. I'd be so nervous if I ever like. It's kind of pathetic. But anyway, so I really enjoyed that podcast. So folks, go listen to it. You will be stunned if you give Peter a good podcast partner for what he can do. But in the meantime, you're listening to this, so that's what you get. You did this to yourself.
That's it, baby.
Sorry.
This is all your fault and nothing to do with us.
That's right.
All right, Gates. Thanks for the time, dude.
Yep.
Go Browns. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Later.